But will you welcome Beatrice? She comes up to share our story tonight.
Hi, everybody. Can you guys hear me? Yep, awesome. I'm gonna move this up because I know I'm short, but I can't see from that far either. All right, just one more. I think I can do it. Okay. Hi, everybody. We're just going to take a few seconds to pray, okay? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this amazing church and to be able to come on another Tuesday night. And I just ask, God, that you would be with us, that you would help us to learn from your word, from these principles, God, and that today would just be a blessing to everybody here, especially the newcomers, Lord. Protect them and be with them. And may tonight just bring them hope. Your hope, Lord, from your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everybody. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. In recovery for codependency, my name is Beatrice.
Hi, Beatrice.
Tonight's topic is the fourth step, which says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. As I start, I would like to share with you something that I heard early in my recovery that made a great impact on me. I heard that everybody has three different characters. One, the character that we exhibit to others. Secondly, the character that we think we have. And thirdly, the character that we truly have. Do you agree with that? Do you kind of see that maybe within yourself and even with others? When I first heard it, it really resonated with me because I saw it often in my life. And for some reason, being that I'm codependent in recovery, I have this obsession on how I think I can really see it in other people's lives. And then I think it's my job and responsibility to point it out. And growing in my recovery, I'm learning that it's not my job. And I'm learning that it hasn't worked very well in my life. But why do we do that? Why do we have this urge to show only parts of us and hide the other parts? That ourselves, that we don't even know who we truly are. Well, it goes back to the beginning of creation when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's only commandment to not eat out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they didn't obey. And when they felt shame, as they saw themselves naked, they hid. Genesis 3:8 tells us, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Since then, we've been separated by sin from God. And like our ancestors, Adam and Eve, we tend to have a tendency to hide those parts of us that we're not comfortable with. We are born into this very complex world of ours, given emotions and free will to act upon. And it's really hard sometimes to know what to do with that. So we have a little video clip here, just someone's interpretation of what might be going on in our minds as we first encounter this thing called life. Would you watch it with me?
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it? Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Well, I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. Cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Right, here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
I love that movie because I can really identify with that talking committee in my head, right? From the day that we were born, we've had to learn to deal and cope with life. But as children, we are often limited. We're limited by our innocence. We're limited by our lack of understanding, our immaturity. And many of us grew up in dysfunctional families with neglect, abuse, and even worse. So we've done the best that we could. But we've now entered these rooms, many of us in defeat over some kind of compulsion or addiction. And we're coming to realize that most of the ways that we've learned to cope with life have been destructive, childish, and often foolish. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." But how exactly are we supposed to give up those childish ways unless we know what those childish ways are? Learning what those childish ways are is one of the results of doing a four-step inventory. It's no wonder that we must be searching and fearless. For some of these ways have become part of us from long ago, and we can't see them distinctly. It's no wonder we must be fearless, for we'll probably uncover much that is not pleasant to us. We'll see ourselves for who we truly are. Tonight, I get the privilege of walking with you through one of the ways of doing this inventory. Please know that there are many ways, and as long as the process you use allows you to be honest and thorough, it'll be a good thing for you. The format that I'll be using is the one we use here at Celebrate Recovery. If you are new to recovery, let me again extend our welcome to you, and I'd like to ask you to keep an open mind as you see this process. If you haven't reached the fourth step in your journey, I'm excited, and I'm hopeful that you might learn how to use this great tool today. And because this step, like all of our other steps, is biblical, it's never too early to start practicing it to the best of your ability. We do recommend, though, that you would invite an accountability partner, a sponsor, or a sponsor as you start this step. They are crucial to helping you to be searching, fearless, honest, and to stay balanced through the process. The inventory worksheet that we use here is set up in 5 columns, as you can see up on the screen. Each column serves a purpose. The first column is a person column. In this column, you'll list the names of the person or persons who have caused some kind of hurt, resentment, or fear in you. Go as far back as you can if this is your first time around. Some examples of what you will write here are the names of family members, friends, bosses, other people, institutions, places, and even God. Remember that resentments are mostly unexpressed anger and fear. The good news is that as you work completely through a fourth step, you will see that your resentments will start to fade. As the light of your faith in a higher power, who we know as Jesus Christ in this ministry, is going to be allowed to shine on them. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him, and we announce to you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all." The second column is the cause and event column. In these rooms, we often hear the truth that hurt people hurt people. In this column, you're going to list the specific actions that someone has done to hurt, anger, or somehow cause you to have a resent for them. This column, you might have things like, "He or she left me. They yelled at me, showed up drunk. They embarrassed me. They belittled me. They hurt my family members, abused me," and so on. No doubt that looking back at some of these events can be very painful. But remember God's promises. In Isaiah 41:10, he tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your Lord God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." The third column is the effect column. In this column, we're called to start the hard work of looking inward and asking ourselves, how did that event affect me in my life? what emotions, what feelings developed inside of me as a result of that event. In this column, you might have things like, I felt lonely, sad, angry, ashamed. This is a great time to bring out one of those feelings sheet. It'll help you identify how you might have been affected by this. These first three columns are intended to simply be tools to help you identify the next two columns and final columns of your inventory. Remember how I said that most of us have three characters, right? The one we usually show to people, the one that we think we have, and then the one that we truly have? It is the next two columns that are going to get you to know the true character that you have. As you move forward in this worksheet, it's so important that you not get stuck in the first three columns, that you no longer associate the rest of your work in this worksheet with the person or what they may or may not have done to you. Lamentations 3:40 states, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." Notice that it doesn't say, "Let us examine their ways," right? This is our inventory. This is so important, and the people that I've seen struggle during this step and past this step, it's usually because they can't get past those first three columns, and for some reason, insist on sitting and dwelling in the pain. I urge you to consider that for many of us, it was the sitting and reliving and feeling the shame and the guilt of those events that kept us going back to our addictions and our behaviors. This is why doing this step is so life-changing. It's during this fourth column that we can start looking past the pain, accepting the damage that resulted, whether it was ever intended in our lives or not, and we'll start knowing the truth of who we are. And only through knowing this truth can we continue to heal and start moving in the direction that God has intended for us to be. No matter how you've been hurt, no matter how lost you might feel, God wants to comfort and restore you. Ezekiel 34:16 says, "I will look for those that are lost. I'll bring back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick." So again, I want to encourage you, as you go through the next column, the damage, don't look back at the event, but instead, focus on the effects that you've discovered so far and ask yourself, as a result of these things, these emotions, these feelings I experienced, what damaging things have developed in me as a person? Some of the things in this column might be mistrust of people. I thought that nobody cares for me, believed I was ugly, low self-esteem, unlovable, believed my feelings were not important, that I'm not worth anything. This finally brings us to our last column. This column is labeled My Part. In this column, we will ask ourselves, as a result of the damage in my life, who have I hurt? What choices, what behaviors, attitudes, and ultimately sins have resulted in my life as a result of the damage that I received? In this column, you might have things like, I lied to my husband or wife, cheated someone, stole, disrespected, abused others, overate, used alcohol, drugs, I left my children to party, mistreated my body, etc., etc., etc. If you're truly doing a thorough and honest inventory, this column should have the longest list of all your other columns. Psalm 139:23 tells us, "Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there's any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way." If you've been in an abusive relationship, especially as a small child, I have great news for you. This column is the column where you can find great freedom. You can see that you had no part and no responsibility for the cause or the resentment, and you can let go of the shame and guilt that you may have been carrying for years. By simply writing the words "not guilty" on the top of column 5, you can begin to be free. Once you've done that, you can continue to work down the list and fill in your part related to the damage that you discovered. As I come here to share on this topic with you, I'm very fortunate because it's a training that I've done many times for our STEP study leaders. I'm a really big fan of the fourth step. It was really foreign to me when I first started recovery. See, I had worked really hard in my life to be dishonest and put on that forefront where nobody really knew how I was, and I didn't even know who I was. So the idea of digging deep and opening up those deep wounds was really, really scary for me. But I had been in recovery for about 5 months for the first time I heard and attempted an inventory. And I was kind of tired of showing up to group, to my open chair group, and and you know how at the end we hold hands? Well, my group holds hands and we say, keep coming back, it works if you work it, so work it because you're worth it, right? I was kind of tired of leaving group and going, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to be working? What is this work it thing? I don't understand. It was really frustrating because I'm one that really kind of wants to understand things, and I didn't understand it. At least I didn't understand it in the way I do today. And so anyway, no one was telling me what this work was. But I kept coming to the meetings. And I heard some really life-changing things, but I was like, okay, how do I work it? And then comes the fourth step. And it was something really practical for me to do. And all of a sudden, as I sat home and I started doing it, I kind of looked up and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I think I'm working it. I got the privilege of being single my first 6 years in recovery. And I really was blessed to get to spend a lot of time working my recovery and learning about myself and some of the ways that I was coping with life that were not good for me. And I was doing really good. And then, my 7th year of recovery, I got married. Yeah, the married people know what I'm talking about. And let's just say that working it for me has turned into overtime working. And on weekends, we had a road trip last week, and I had to do some double time on that. But I'm so thankful for a program that continually points out to the source, the real source of problem, which is me. But it also soars to the it really also points to the real source of healing, which is God, right? So now I'm going to give you guys an example of an inventory entry. We're going to take one of the first entries that I ever did when I first worked my recovery, my inventory, okay? So I think it's in the back of your little pamphlet if you want to follow along, or it's going to be on the slides. Column number 1, the person. Who is the object of my resentment or fear? So for me, I put my dad. Column number 2, what specific action did that person take to hurt me? Well, I was born in Mexico to a family of 5. My mom died when I was 3. And very shortly after, my dad, who is now a single dad of 5 kids, made a really big sacrifice. And he came here to the United States to work so that he could provide for us. I was very little, I was 3, and his decision, although not intended to hurt me, indeed caused a lot of pain in my life. So the cause for me is he left us very young in my country of birth to come here to work. As you can imagine, it was pretty easy for me to come up with these first 2 columns. It typically is for most of us, right? It's the next column that was a little more difficult. My experience is that I had done such a good job at blocking everything out before recovery, that identifying some of these things and how they might have affected me was really hard. So I just want to encourage you, as you work in your inventory, make sure that you're having a couple of things. Make sure that you're praying and journaling. Before you sit to write out your inventory, take time to pray and ask God for guidance. And always have a journal available. Feel free to write pages upon pages about a hurt or an event in your life. And once you've been able to get it all out there, you can then use this worksheet to be concise, honest, and accepting of whatever God may have showed you. I'm going to share with you quickly one of my journal entries as I worked through this event with my dad. This is what I wrote. I can't believe that he left me when I was that young. What kind of a parent leaves his little 4-year-old girl only a year after her mother died? Does he not realize how much I needed him? Did he not care? If he had not left me, maybe I wouldn't have been sexually abused. Maybe I wouldn't have always felt so abandoned like an orphan. I remember when all the little girls had their parents with them, but not me. I was always alone and felt dirty, and nobody wanted me, no one. I was so alone and unlovable, and that's why I started falling for jerks who treated me horribly. That's why I ended up having sex with the guys I did. I hated myself, and now my life is a mess. I got to journal that because that's what I carried with me, and it was so important for me to get it out there. But then I got to go back and go, okay, how did it affect me? And for my journaling, I learned that I felt like an orphan. I felt lonely. I felt fearful and unprotected. And boy, did I feel angry, right? The fourth column. Now we're going to move on to the fourth column, which is the damage. Remember that I said at this point, it's important to no longer think about my dad, about what he did or didn't do. At this point, I must start looking at how I've been affected and how has that damaged me. It's always so interesting to me how events affect people differently and how they cause different damage. So it's important that you really look within yourself. So how do we do this? I'm going to ask myself, as a result of me feeling like an orphan, what are some things that I started believing and accepting as the damaging things in my life? Some of the things I started believing and accepting is that I'm not worthy of having a dad around like the other kids are. I started thinking, I must not be lovable. I started believing that maybe I must have done something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Then I'm going to look at the next item that I listed again, and I'm going to ask myself, okay, as a result of me feeling lonely, what are some of the damaging things that happened with me? Well, I started thinking I must not matter to others because I'm so lonely. So I'm going to write that down in the damage. As a result of being fearful, I started believing that I can't make a mistake or things in life could only get worse if I did. As a result of feeling unprotected, I started thinking that I must be strong to survive. As a result of feeling angry about my situation, I've lived believing the lie that life is not fair and that I must be a victim in it. The last column is column number 5, and now I get to focus on my part. When filling in the column of my part, again, I'm not going to look at columns 1 or 2. I'm done with that. I'm looking at the damage, and I'm asking myself, as a result of the damage that I found within me, what are some things that I've done? So one of the things I did as a result of me believing that I'm not worthy of having a dad like the other kids were, I started to fill that void with men. I became obsessed of keeping a boyfriend around, whether they were a good guy or not. And because this is a thorough and honest inventory, we need to get specific on how we did these things. So for me, I wrote, I lied to Caesar, my first husband. I controlled Joe. I snuck boyfriends in my home. I lied and disrespected my dad's home. I wore makeup and wiped it off when I was home. I wore makeup to school and wiped it off when I came home. Is that weird? Has anybody else done that? I just think it's so weird now looking back, but in the moment it felt so cool. I flirted with men, married or single. I compromised my sexuality to keep a guy around. My next item on this list is I must not be lovable. And again, you'll see that as I go down the list, I'm gonna take ownership and responsibility for the people that I've touched with the damaging things I've carried. Notice that if you do this honestly and thoroughly, you have a pattern of one or two events that have happened to you that should bring you to see many things in that last column. That's how you know you're doing a thorough inventory. It should look like that. So who do we do an inventory sheet on? Everyone in your life, present or past. The more thorough that you are, the greater the results will be. Some people find it helpful to go in chronological order in their lives. Others choose to start with the people closest to them. The order doesn't matter as long as you go as far back as you can remember and you cover everyone that you can think of. Do one on God. Do it to the best of your ability today. If you can't remember some stuff, don't worry about it. Keep the process balanced. Make sure you take breaks. Build friendships in group. Reward yourselves for the progress you're making. Celebrate your work. Use Bible verses to replace the damaging beliefs that you discover. And instead, replace them with God's truth. Make sure that whatever coping mechanisms you're choosing, that they're healthy and they're not leading you into another area of addiction. Lastly, as I close, I want to remind you that bringing these things out in the light is for your benefit. After all, God knows every little bit of it already. Nothing that you write down is going to surprise him. But only through bringing it out can we receive the gift of forgiveness and healing. Remember what God says in Isaiah 1:18. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stains of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. Will you join me and stand up as we close with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.